106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Thursday morning. 251-343-0106. So to come on the program about an hour from now, Orange Beach Mayor Tony Kinnon, and then in that 11 o'clock hour, our usually Friday regular, making it a day early here from Alabama Today, April Marie Fogle. So please make sure that you stay tuned for that. But joining us now, very special guest lined up today. Always a pleasure to bring on former Governor Don Singelman. Governor, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great. How about you?
Doing well. Thanks for making time for us. Thanks for being on. Well, I guess the discussion of the hour right now is gambling in Alabama. And we hadn't really had a chance. I know you were not a fan of the initial salvo by the Alabama House of Representatives. But what we're doing now, is it still a little too Porch Creek friendly for your taste? What do you make of this latest iteration of the gambling proposal?
Well, it still has some of the major problems that caused me concern, and it ought to cause the voters and taxpayers concern. So let me explain briefly. It does not provide really for free public bids on these casino licenses. They are the locations are designated for both the Porch Creek Indian Gambling Authority and giving them three casinos, and then designating the others for these pre-existing dog tracks, basically. So, you know, this works against free market economics. You know, you can't tell Macy's or some major store where they're going to locate and expect them just to locate there. And then you can't tell these major gaming companies like Sands and Harrods and Steve Wynn, the Bellagio, and all those people, you can't tell them that they have to locate in Theodore rather than on the Mobile Causeway. You know, whoever bids and wins a license should be able to negotiate with the political leaders of that community to decide where they want to put the casino, where it will do the most good economically for the community, where it will create the most jobs, and where it will have easy access and be the most successful gaming operation if we're going to have casinos. And secondly, there's no reason to give the Porch Creek Indians, well, actually, we're not giving the Native Americans anything. We're giving that gaming authority that calls itself the Porch Creek Indian Gaming Authority, we're giving them three licenses, which makes no sense at all. They should have to bid for those licenses just like everybody else. So we're cheating the taxpayers. We're cheating the people of Alabama out of money that they should get if we're going to have casinos at all. But let me go back to my prime target, and that's a lottery that would benefit public education, a lottery that would pay for early learning, preschool, so that working families and grandmothers and grandfathers who have custody of their grandchildren would have a place to put those kids in the morning. And when they pick them up in the afternoon, they would be better educated and better prepared to succeed in grades K through 12. And the second thing we need to do is to guarantee kids who finish high school free education, free higher education, free college, free trade school, free two-year, four-year school. So any money that is generated from gaming, regardless of whether it's slot machines or casinos or a lottery. All of that money should first be designated to fully fund early learning to benefit the working families of the state and the children of Alabama. It is clear that education is the key to each individual's success, and it's the key to Alabama's economic success.
What do you make of this, taking out like sports gambling or this idea? Now we live in this age of the internet and all of these internet accessible ways of gambling that's what scared off, I think, some of the support here. Now they say this iteration of it won't allow for some of that, but I mean, it's a new era than like the first time we tried this in 99 with all the technology. And do you see that as something that either needs to be kind of maybe implemented, make it a part of, or do you think it's just one of the consequences that are one of the dangers that need to be steered clear of?
Well, I think you've talked about two parts of this issue. One is betting on sports is a big deal, and a lot of Alabamians do it. The latest figure I saw was something like $2 billion a year in sports betting out of Alabama. So it's going on now, there is a danger that young people could be spending their lunch money or their dorm fees or something on betting on an Alabama Auburn game. So we have to be careful about that. But the question that you asked raises another issue, and that is that we really ought to be voting on the lottery separately from casinos and sports betting separate from casinos and the lottery, so that people would have a chance to cast a truly informed ballot. What they're doing now is trying to get support for casinos by way of putting the lottery on the ballot. But if I were doing this, and I'm not, I only have one vote, and that'll be in November, I guess, unless there's a special election. But, I think we should have a vote on the lottery, a separate vote on sports betting, and a separate vote on casinos.
Well, that's the other thing, Governor. They're going to do it in August under this proposal. And I know you and I have talked about this in the past. That was... So one of your regrets was not putting it on a general election ballot. It was doing a special election. But the problem there, at least in a Republican supermajority, is they see this AL2 race, and they think that if you put a gambling amendment on the ballot, it's going to draw a more Democrat vote, and that'll give the Democrat Shamari Figures an advantage over Carolee Dobson in a swing district potentially.
Yeah, all of that is just pure speculation. It's clear that in a special election, special interests have a opportunity to have a special impact on the outcome of an election. And of course, that's what happened in October of 1999. We lost the lottery because we had $20 million of Indian casino money coming in from Mississippi to defeat the lottery. And, they were, funneling that money into white churches to get them out to vote and funneling money into black churches to keep them home from voting. So, the choice of when to have an election, it has some political dynamics to it. Let me mention this before we run out of time. The third thing that I see as a real problem here is the Gaming Commission itself. The Gaming Commission, the group that's going to have the authority to oversee all of this, could be made up of elected officials, former elected officials, the governor's son, the governor's wife, the governor's daughter, the governor's campaign manager. It could be made up of lobbyists. We don't need a gaming commission that is riddled with political corruption. And that's what I don't know why these, why the members of the legislature who are writing this legislation don't go the extra mile to avoid the appearance of a conflict of interest. But this is leaving this, this proposal. Should it pass, it is going to open it up to the charge of ready-made corruption, because they have got a gaming commission that allows politicians and their relatives or lobbyists to control the gaming operations in Alabama.
How would you do? How would you do the? But you would you agree they need a, an enforcement mechanism? Would you put it under the AG's office, or Aaliyah, the law enforcement? I mean, like, what? Because there's got to be something. There's got to be some kind of board or some kind of authority, right?
Oh, sure, but I just say that, you know, they need to exclude those. They need to exclude all political aspects of this thing, and have the gaming commission appointed from the Alabama Academy of Honors members of other business societies from different colleges and universities. That, you know, that there are qualified businessmen and women in the state who would be happy to serve on this commission and make sure that it's run properly and in the best interest of taxpayers.
Well, here's the rub, and this is me speaking as kind of the, let's just say, the devil's advocate, right winger here. But when we watched during COVID, a state health officer, a lot of people took issue with it, and was given all power, but he was put in that place not through like appointment of an elected official who could be held accountable at the ballot box, but a board of doctors who also in their day job lobby the legislature, and like doing it through a third party and not somebody who's accountable to the voters may, I can see where that would be a concern.
Well, you know, you've raised a good question, and, you know, we could set up a commission, you know, one from each congressional district, and have them run and be elected. You know, I mean, you could do it that way. But I'm just saying, we should not have a commission that could have, you know, a local legislator or a former governor,
right,
or, you know, a lobbyist on this. Gaming commission. We just need to do everything we can to avoid the appearance of corruption.
Well, the other problem, I suppose, you look at the medical marijuana commission, the ethics commission, these commissions that are kind of like third party to the government, extra branch of the government. Not really sure where they fall. I mean, they never work out that well, do they?
They don't. But, you know, I think we need to, again, I think we need a group of businessmen and women and not politicians to oversee something that is economically as important as a lottery or casinos.
Joined by Governor Don Siegel. Just a few more minutes. We'll transition to this and well, now we have our mutual friend Parker Griffith on regularly on this program. Still very optimistic about November and Biden, despite what the polls say. What's your outlook? What's your crystal ball telling you on the November election, Governor?
Well, my crystal ball is fogged up right at the moment. I cannot see into the crystal ball. I think it's going to be, if things remain as they are, it's going to be a very close election. Any one of the key states could swing the election one way or the other. And, you know, both of these gentlemen are not guaranteed of the nominee and to be the nominee of their party at this point. I mean, they are the presumptive nominees, but the conventions have not been held. So, you know, I think we need to have this discussion once the conventions are over. It's too far away. Too much could happen, and it's just too early.
I guess, like, you look at the whole picture, though. I mean, are you okay with Biden being the nominee?
Oh yeah, yeah. I'm a Democrat, and I've voted for some Republicans in my day, and have some close Republican friends in the legislature now. But Biden has tried to hold things together economically and on foreign policy. He's tried to avoid putting American, boots on the ground of American soldiers. And, he's fighting for democracy in Ukraine. He has been supporting a renegade ally, talking about Netanyahu, who's, Israel is not a renegade, but Netanyahu is, the longer Netanyahu keeps the war going, the better off for him, but it's also the better off for Donald Trump. And of course, he and Trump are allied. That's a dangerous situation. I think that's an important aspect of this presidential election that has not fully played out yet.
Governor, you're always very generous with your time. Always enjoy our conversations. Let's do it again real soon.
Thank you, and give my best to my friend Parker Griffin.
Always, always. Former Governor Don Siegelman there. We got to get a break in here. We will return. This is the Jeff Moore Show on FM Talk 106.5. We ought to get a rich man to vote like that, sing it.